LaPraise Christian Church Disciples of Christ, and we are waiting for YOU. Come on in and join us tonight.
It's going to be a great study, and it won't be long, but we praise God for each of you who are a part of our Monday Manna Bible study each Monday at 6 o'clock p.m., and we're certainly grateful for God affording us another opportunity to be gathered together around His Word. We know that the Word of the Lord says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we know that our faith is going to increase tonight because we dare to gather ourselves. And the Bible also reminds us, Lady Kim, to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. And so even virtually we have gathered together, but that scripture really refers to gathering in the house.
Right.
And so we want to encourage you not just to allow the social media streaming platform to be the only way that you become a part and be a part of the fellowship, but something powerful and something different and unique happens when we're in together in one place on one accord and feel in the presence of God. Isn't that right?
That's right.
And so we praise God for each of you tonight. Someone let us know that you're getting a clear signal. We have several mediums that we are streaming from, but just give us a heads up or some thumbs up or just hit in the box there and say the signal is clear as we prepare for this time together tonight. There's a lot of ground we want to cover. There's only 18 verses here in this this second chapter of Second Chronicles, and I believe we should be able to get through that tonight, don't you think, Lady
yes,
Kim? And
we
want to say a continued happy Father's Day to all of the fathers out there. This was a great weekend for us, and we thank God for each of you and those of you who are on the call and those who will hear this particular study by playback or listening to it later. We're certainly grateful and happy belated Father's Day to each of you that we didn't get an opportunity to say that to on yesterday.
Amen.
Let's say a prayer as we prepare for to get this time together tonight. God, we honor you and we bless you and we yet give you praise. We thank you for another opportunity to be gathered around your word, and we're grateful for you sustaining us and continue to look beyond our faults, and you get right to our needs. We love you tonight. We honor you, and we bless your name. We're grateful for each person who will be a part of this time together. And God, we thank you for Lady Kim and the gift and the talent and the knowledge that she brings. And we ask you, Lord, that a stirring will take place here tonight as we prepare to get into this word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And so we believe that something powerful is going to happen tonight because we dare to take time out even on the Juneteenth holiday to gather around your word. So we love you and we honor you and we thank you for being our God. Now may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, and praise God.
Amen.
All right. Well, Lady Kim, this is a holiday, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And I tell you, a lot of people are off today, and you had the privilege of being off today as well.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
And so this is Juneteenth that we're celebrating. It is officially a national holiday.
Yes, this and is so, the first year we've celebrated as a nation.
And so we know that some things happened over 150 years ago. Tell us a little bit about this whole Juneteenth that we're celebrating today.
Well, I want to start out by asking you a question. When was the first time you heard about Juneteenth?
It was probably, I was maybe in my 20s or, or even older, you know, before I really heard about it.
Well, I know when exactly when I heard about it. You know, I went to Wiley College for a short period of time in Marshall, Texas. And that's when I first learned about Juneteenth.
Okay.
They celebrated Juneteenth on Wiley College's campus with, you know, music and dancing. And I didn't know what Juneteenth was. And they explained to me that in Texas, slaves were still enslaved 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation had been issued.
That's right.
So
right.
slaves were free everywhere mm-hmm. except certain places in the South. And Texas was one of those places. And so Texas found out 2 years after everybody else was free, they finally found out, they finally got the word that they were free.
That's right.
And so it was on June 19th, 1865.
That's right.
That
That's right.
they found out, the newly freed slaves found out that they were actually free.
Okay. And that was probably a very interesting time in their lives. Because of people who have been enslaved for so long, they finally get word that they are free. The shackle has been taken off. The weight has been lifted, but they still have to navigate through an unusual circumstance
Absolutely.
Of being free. And many times, people who are in bondage or people who are in captivity, even today, don't completely understand the freedom that they have until they are released from that which has held them in check for so long. Mm-hmm. And I think even with us, we have many obstacles, many challenges that we have to overcome. Even though we are free people, we still have a lot of things that's pressing against us and causing us not to be considered equal and there's a lot of systemic racism and white supremacy and the likes that still exist that oftentimes are barriers to try to keep us from being who God has called us to be.
Mm-hmm. A lot of institutional racism now that we have to overcome. And so we've overcome in so many ways and in so many areas, but then in other ways and in other areas, we are still enslaved.
That's right.
And so I was reading some things on this morning, and one of the things that we have to overcome in systemic racism is our judicial system
Wow.
and our policing system. Our criminal justice system is a broken system. It is racially skewed. You know, more than a million African-American men are incarcerated.
That's right.
You know, and so we can see just by those numbers alone that systemic racism still exists.
Absolutely.
You know, with hunger and children and the disparity between wages and jobs, you know, African-Americans still make significantly less than our white counterparts. But things are are starting to turn around in our area. We have made some significant gains in that area in the last couple of years. So, you know, we still have a lot to overcome as African-American people, but it's going to take all of us, you know, pulling together and fighting together. The fight isn't over.
That's right.
We still have work to do.
That's right. And we have to work together in order to make things better for those yet coming behind us mm-hmm. and also to build a better America. I know what's his name? Trump, he wants to make America great again, but we have to build a better America where all people are equal in their participation in the processes, in the systems. And they don't feel threatened by us, nor should we feel threatened by them. But everyone should have an equal opportunity at freedom and experience what God would have for us to experience.
Amen.
Yes.
Awesome.
So happy Juneteenth to each of you who are listening and celebrating today and had a chance to be off today and to relax and to enjoy this day and the first rendering of a national holiday. And many people were off today and some had to go to work, of course. But for the most part, most of the governmental and what else were institutions, the banks and things of that nature were closed. But those who were like first, what do they call them?
First responders,
mm-hmm. they had to be on the job because, Absolutely. You know, even though we have a holiday, that doesn't stop thieves from breaking in, nor does that stop people from driving fast, people being hurt, people in accidents.
And we have to go to the grocery store.
Have to go to the grocery store and all like that. Mm-hmm. So happy Juneteenth to each of you. And we hope that you have enjoyed this day, whether you were off or not. Dr. Kweli says some had to go to work. And
That would be her.
Mm-hmm. And
she said, I am some.
Okay. All right. So,
sorry.
Yep. But we're grateful and we praise God for each of you. Well, we're in 2 Chronicles, the second chapter. There are 18 verses there. We want to talk a little bit about what happened on yesterday in our worship experience, and then we should be able to cover those 18 verses tonight.
Amen. Well, you talked about what happened when men pray mm-hmm. on yesterday, and you came from 2 Samuel, the 5th chapter, verses 17 through 25. When David had heard, you know, that there was a stronghold and he went up against the Philistines. Mm-hmm. And it says, you know, he told him that he was going to go and stand up to the Philistines and deliver them into his hands. And, you know, he went up and deployed, you know, they had a strategy in their warfare.
Okay.
It said that you should not go up, but circle around behind them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. Mm-hmm. And something amazing happened when he followed God's directions. Then, you know, they heard the sound of the marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, and they advanced quickly. And then the Lord went out before them and struck the camp of the Philistines. So you had a couple of points, because David did exactly what God told him to do. But the first point that you had was that whenever we're facing the enemy, that we need to inquire of the Lord.
That's right. That's right. And that's the first thing that happened on both occasions, because he was dealing with a tremendous attack. In fact, he went into a cave and he was trying. Many people thought that he was afraid, but he was renewing his strength and hearing from God. Mm-hmm. And many times when we are faced with situations, we want to, first of all, use our human instincts, our natural instincts will kick in terms of what we should do. But Matthew 6:33, of course, one of my favorites, we have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto us, because the attacks will come. The enemy is not going to back down. And so we have to make sure that we are persistent in our prayers mm-hmm. and consistent in the things of God. Mm-hmm. And then that we understand that prayer is first and inquiring of the Lord is first, in order that we might be victorious in what we are trying to accomplish for God.
Amen. Amen. And then you had a second point too, that we have to follow divine instruction.
That's right.
So, you know, so often we hear from God, but we still want to do our own thing. Mm-hmm. And God gave David specific instructions on what to do, you know, and where to go, how to circle around behind the mulberry, the mulberry trees mm-hmm. to go behind the enemy,
okay.
You know, and as they went behind the enemy, God went before them. You know, and so we have to follow divine instructions exactly the way God tells us. And we know many times the Israelites in the Old Testament got into trouble because God gave them specific instructions and they still decided to do what they wanted to do. That's why they stayed in the wilderness for 40 years.
Uh-oh.
Because they continued to, God had given Moses the directions, mm-hmm. but the Israelites continued to do what they felt like they wanted to do. So we have to follow divine instructions.
So could it be, Lady Kim, that's why a lot of us are in wilderness today?
Absolutely.
Because we failed to follow divine instruction.
Absolutely.
And this was not only the first time that David had inquired of the Lord, but this was the second time. And so many times, as I indicated on yesterday, when God does a thing, we always kind of get the assumption that he's going to do it the same way, the way he did it last time.
That's right. That's right.
And so if we don't inquire and we don't follow the divine instruction, sometimes he might be telling us to circle around the back. And we used to going around to the front.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes people say, well, what are the divine instructions? Well, you have to settle yourselves and sit still and wait to hear from God. I know a lot of times we sit down and we pray and we talk and we pray and we talk and then we get up and we walk off.
Okay.
How many times have we prayed and then settled ourselves and stopped to listen to hear what God had to say?
Okay.
You have to listen for
still
small voice. You have to listen for people's conversations. You have to listen to a song. You have to listen to the homeless person on the street. You have to listen, because in all those ways, God can be speaking to you and directing you exactly what to do. And so, listening is not just sitting still, and listening is hearing through other means also.
Okay. And I think that last verse, verse 25, what does that say in that scripture that I used yesterday?
It said, and David did so as the Lord commanded him, and he drove back the Philistines from Geba as far as Gezer.
And so that just kind of opens up the door for the last point, that when we inquire of the Lord, when we follow divine instruction, then we can expect victory every time.
Amen.
And so many times when we try to put that in our own terminology or try to do things our way, oftentimes we fail and we have to go back and repeat the process and do it the way God has intended for us to do it.
That's right.
Okay. All right. What else happened at the service yesterday? Because, I'll let you kind of share a little bit, and I'll come in, and we don't want to take too much time, but we know people are still moving around and kind of trying to enjoy the holiday. But it was Father's Day, and, it brings back a lot of memories for me, because I don't plan to do some things, but I try to listen, just as David was talking here in this passage, in inquiring of the Lord. And, I had a flood of emotions yesterday, Lady Kim, when I started thinking about my dad. And it's really amazing, because he was the mentor. He was the guiding force. He was the example. He was the one who influenced, didn't push, but influenced, after seeing all of what he was doing and how his life was a living example. That was what really led me into acknowledging my call to ministry, because there were times we would sit in the service and I could almost vividly see what was not right in terms of what was happening. Never pastored a large congregation, a small church, did everything, had an evangelistic spirit. He knew everybody. Everybody knew him. He had a distinct voice of amen, that you knew he was in the building. And he was just admired by people everywhere he went. And whenever he went somewhere, he did not meet a stranger. Amen. He was a personable person. And he would always, before he finished talking to you, ask you about whether or not you knew the Lord or not. As a matter of fact, he married us and baptized Lady Kim. And I tell you, it's amazing how some of the things that he was not able to accomplish, similar to what we're going to talk about tonight, how the Lord allowed me to fulfill some of the desires that he had and
Absolutely.
Some of the plans that he was talking about long before I got to the place where I am now.
Amen.
And all of that was just a
flood
rush.
Of emotions
yeah.
for you on
mm-hmm.
yesterday.
Yeah.
Because just as David prepared Solomon for the building of the temple, your dad prepared
mm-hmm.
you to take the mantle and continue to run with it.
That's right.
What an awesome legacy. What an awesome person he was.
That's right.
And, awesome big shoes to fill, but I have to go back and say nobody could fill Earl Murray Sr.'s shoes.
Big Daddy. That's right.
Big Daddy. Loved by all.
That's right.
Like you said, he never met a stranger, and he would do anything he could to help somebody.
You know, I used to get kind of agitated sometimes, because he would pick up all of these people. He would go through the neighborhood and pick up people and
Pick up all the kids.
All the kids. And sometimes we had to wait till he go and drop them off and come back and pick us up. And we was, you know, frustrated. Well, why you got to pick up all these kids? I mean, why they riding? You know, why we can't go first? You know, and all of that. But it was a visible manifestation of the presence of God. And I just praise God for his life. And, you know, that's where I get my roots. That's where it all happened for me. And
that's where it happened for me too.
Yeah.
He really helped open my eyes to what it truly meant to be a Christian. You know, my mother was a great woman, but you know, she wasn't as astute in biblical studies as Big Daddy was. You know, you could always hear him on the front porch or see him on the front porch early in the morning. Even when it was brisk and cold outside, he would put on a coat. He would sit in the little glider chair on the front porch, and he would read his Bible out loud.
That's right.
And I found something calming. I find something something different about reading out loud. Read the word out loud. It'll hit you differently.
Yeah. So all of that happened, and the Lord showed himself strong on yesterday. I tell you, it was a mighty outpouring of his presence, and we had people to come forth and join and be a part of Anointed Temple of Praise, and we're grateful for the families that came, the family that came, and other individuals who came to rededicate and recommit themselves to the Lord. An exciting time, and we are looking for great things yet to come.
Amen. That's right. Wonderful.
All right. Well, we're in 2 Chronicles, the second chapter. And Lady Kim, this chapter really kind of gets us prepared for David really exercising his authority and his military strength, as well as his administrative abilities, because David was instituting some things that we even do today back then. And I mean, Solomon, and little did we know that some of the things that we see in the Old Testament are still applicable for today. But this this particular chapter that we are going to read tonight, the second chapter, it really talks about the preparation of the temple. And then we'll see over in chapters 3 and 4 to deal with the construction and the dedication. And all of these chapters, all the way through chapter 7, will be dealing with all of those issues of construction and preparation and dedication. And you will see that there's a parallel in 1 Kings, the 5th chapter, that really connects with what we're talking about here in 2 Chronicles, the 2nd chapter. And so I'm excited about this particular chapter because it also shows how David was able to, how Solomon was able to pull together his workforce and galvanize all of the people. And he was strategic in terms of how they would work. And then he wanted to make sure that he had the best to go into the temple. And he was a man that was attending to details.
Amen.
I had a saying, and we used to say it often, details make the difference.
They do.
And many times when people don't completely understand how we should prepare ourselves and serve God in an excellent way, because he's an excellent God, he deserves our excellence, we sometimes want to get around the details and not really pay attention to details. But details make the difference, and people who don't have a sense of that, they don't appreciate that. But our ministry has always been about the details. It has always been about presenting God our best, and always decency and in order, and always having some kind of protocol and process in place. And people, once they leave an environment like that and they go into a situation that's not structured or that does not have any kind of protocol or process, they can appreciate that even more so. Mm-hmm. But just like our Institute for Leadership Training, that's key for getting leaders developed and mm-hmm. and understanding the culture and understanding how to get things done and hearing from them and them hearing from the leaders and knowing how they fit and how they can use their gifts. All of that is critical. And so those of you who are yet on the call tonight and you're going through this second institute, keep your antennas up, because what you are learning is going to be valuable to how God is going to use you in the future and how you're going to process things even at ATOP. Now, you might see something different or you might do something different elsewhere, but as for ATOP, we're going to do it God's way, and we're going to do it in a way that we feel will bring glory and honor to his name.
Amen. That's great.
Okay. So how do you want to proceed, Lady Kim? You want to read it, and you want to just kind of, because it's only 18 verses there.
Well, half of 18 is 9. I don't know if that's a good place to stop on number 9.
Okay.
It looks like it's an okay place to stop.
All right.
All right, so I'll read verses 1 through 9, 2 Chronicles, the second chapter. The first verse.
All right.
Says, then Solomon determined to build a temple for the name of the Lord and a royal house for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Solomon selected 70,000 men to bear burdens.
What?
80,000 to quarry stone in the mountains and 3,600 to oversee them. Then Solomon sent to Hiram, king of Tyre, saying, as you have dealt with David my father and sent him cedars to build himself a house to dwell in, so deal with me. Behold, I am building a temple for the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to him, to burn before him sweet incense for the continual showbread, for the burnt offerings morning and evening, on the Sabbaths, on the new moons, and on the set feast of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel, and the temple which I build will be great, for our God is greater than all gods. But who is able to build him a temple, since heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him a temple except to burn sacrifice before him? Therefore, send me at once a man skillful to work in gold and silver, in bronze and iron, in purple and crimson and blue, who has skill to engrave with the skillful men who are with me in Judah and Jerusalem, whom David my father provided. And send me cedar and cypress and algum logs from Lebanon, for I know that your servants have skill to cut timber in Lebanon, and indeed my servants will be with your servants to prepare timber for me in abundance, for the temple which I am about to build shall be great and wonderful.
Wow. So that's a powerful ask, if you will,
yes,
of Solomon, but he didn't bear any expense in terms of asking the king for what he needed.
Right.
And he went to the top of the line in terms of all of the things that were needed. He didn't bear any expense in terms of the best of the best to go into the temple.
Right. And I think that's important. When we do anything for God, we should give our best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because God gave his best when
that's
Jesus
right.
died on the cross. And so we need, whatever we do, we ought to offer our best. If we are in leadership, we should be the best leaders that we can be, just to honor God, because God has been so good to us.
Okay. So he wanted the best timber. He wanted the skilled workers. And this, as you were reading that, I was thinking about how he was establishing probably one of the first workforces or labor forces that could be imaginable. There's so much here in terms of how he was attending to details, how he knew exactly what he needed, and how he wanted the very best to do it. And He did not back down in terms of asking Haram, the king of Tyre, about what he wanted for, and he wanted the very best, the expensive wood, the expensive, all of the things that he wanted.
Yeah, the gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron, whatever he needed for the temple, he asked for the very best.
That's right.
And so he got, you know, and the king of Tyre, you know, admired him and said, you know, your dad taught you well, you know, that you should ask for the best.
Right.
So it was amazing that not only did Solomon ask for the best, but he also garnered the workforce so that the work could be done in a timely manner. You know, he didn't say, I want 2,000 people here. He had 70 and 80,000. Can you imagine?
That's a lot of
70
people.
And 80,000 people working at one time to accomplish such a task. And I know they didn't have the types of tools that we have today.
That's right.
To get it done in a couple of weeks. So they had to have that many people working in order that things would be done in a timely manner. But my Lord, that's a lot of people.
That's a lot.
70,000 men to bear the burdens and 80,000 to quarry stone. So he had 80,000 people hewing out rocks, you know, in order to build the temple.
All right. Well, any comments thus far as we're reading?
I don't see any right now.
Okay. Well, let's go to the next portion.
Okay.
And that's only 9 more verses, right?
Yes.
Well, before you begin reading, let me just read this comment from the commentary. It says that Solomon saw to it that excellence controlled both the design and the construction of the temple. He committed himself to excellence every step of the way, including hidden areas. If you were to ask him, why bother with the details of an area that no one would ever see, who would know whether it was done right or not? He would respond, I know, and God would know. And so he's trying to emphasize here, even for us, that leaders who make commitments, they should model the kind of excellence that really represents God. And even in the hidden areas where they could easily cut corners or not do it to the very best, he's trying to give us an indication here of how important it is for us even to be concerned about the details of everything that we undertake to do. And so Solomon shows commitment to excellence, and he shows that he's not going to hold back when it comes to what he's doing for God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and read the next few verses, which are only 9 verses there, as we continue with our study tonight. And for those of you just joining us, we're in 2 Chronicles, the 2nd chapter. And Lady Kim has already read the first 9 verses. And we're going to read these last 9 verses and then talk a little bit about those.
Okay. Verses 10-18. And indeed, I will give to your servants, the woodsmen who cut timber, 20,000 cores of ground wheat, 20,000 cores of barley, 20,000 baths of wine, and 20,000 baths of oil. Then Hiram, king of Tyre, answered in writing, which he sent to Solomon, because the Lord loves his people, he has made you king over them. Hiram also said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who made heaven and earth, for he has given King David a wise son, endowed with prudence and understanding, who will build a temple for the Lord and a royal house for himself. And now I have sent a skillful man endowed with understanding, Huram, my master craftsman, the son of a woman of the daughters of Dan, and his father was a man of Tyre. skilled to work in gold and silver, bronze and iron, stone and wood, purple and blue, fine linen and crimson, and to make any engravings and to accomplish any plan which may be given to him with your skillful men and with the skillful men of my Lord David, your father. Now, therefore, the wheat and barley, the oil and the wine, which my Lord has spoken of, let him send to his servants, and we will cut wood for Lebanon as much as you need. We will bring it to you in rafts by sea to Joppa, and you will carry it up to Jerusalem. Then Solomon numbered all the aliens who were in the land of Israel after the census in which David his father had numbered them. And there were found to be 153,600. And he made 70,000 of them bearers of burdens, 80,000 stone cutters in the mountains, and 3,600 overseers to make the people work.
All right. Well, I think that's a continuation of those first nine verses where he received exactly what he asked for. And the king granted his wish and released the very best to him so that he might accomplish the work that was yet before him to build the temple in such a way that it represented the God that he served.
Amen.
And so it is with us. I think it's obvious that we need to present to God our very best and not hold back when it comes to what we offer God, and even in our service to him. This is a major task, a major challenge before Solomon, and organizational skills, as well as following the blueprint and making sure that everything flows in a certain way, because all of those men were, I know he assigned others to be over different areas of the work that was to be done, but he was the mastermind in terms of setting everything in place and then trusting people to adhere to what he was asking them to do so that it would be done in a way where those hidden things that we just talked about would not go lacking, and people would not try to cut corners or feel that people would not recognize certain parts if they did subpar work in some areas.
Yes, he sent the master, the king of Tyre sent the master craftsman to make sure that the work was done correctly. He sent the best that was skilled in, you know, in the work of gold and silver and bronze and iron and purple and crimson. You know, he sent the master to teach those that were with Solomon how to do the job correctly. And I'm sure he was a great overseer of the project.
That's right. That's right.
What do they call those people? A project manager. He was the project manager, or he was the trainer, and they were, what do you call those people? Understudies, the people that work with them. I can't call it to mind right now, but anyway, they were in training under the master craftsman, so they learned how to do the work. And you know, that reminded me, you know, we had someone working here at our house, and he had a young man with him, and that's what he was doing. He was showing him exactly what to do.
That's right. So they were kind of like
tutoring or... Apprentice. Yeah. Thank you, Tierra. He was an apprentice. Yes,
that's the word you were looking for.
That's the word I couldn't pull up out of my brain. Pull it forward to my brain. Yes, he was an apprentice.
So, what does that tell us about the work that we have to do in the house? You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be physical work or labor. Mm-hmm. What does that tell us about us as leaders and those who are over different ministries in the house of God?
That we have to train others that to come behind us, because we're not going to be in that leadership position forever. And so we have to continuously train people that are coming behind us so that they know how to do the work properly. Now, and I know techniques change and things change. For instance, you know, when I was in school, we had to learn how to use a typewriter, okay. You know. But we no longer use a typewriter. Then came the what we call the word processor. Now we just call it the computer, mm-hmm. You know. And so we have software in the computer. A lot of people can testify that we had to go to typing class and we would type. And if we made a mistake, at first we just had to erase and then backspace and kind of type over that mistake. And you had to get it lined up just right. And then later on came the whiteout. You know, where you could white it out. And then after the whiteout came the little tape that you can, you know, white over and then go back. But still you had to move the carriage up a little bit to white out. And then if you didn't get it lined up quite right, that letter might be higher or lower than the other letters in the sentence. Mm-hmm. So you almost had to be a master at lining things up. So the point I'm getting at is that we no longer use a typewriter. We no longer use the word processor. We just use the computer and we type and things get done. But what is still the same is the keyboard hasn't changed.
Okay.
So some things don't change.
That's right.
You know, the basics do not change.
Okay.
Maybe some other things slightly change. So we have to teach them the basics, you know, how to get things done, and then let the creativity flow from there.
Okay. That's good. Y'all give Lady Kim some thumbs up. She's in the house tonight, and she took us way back down. Down memory
show
lane
y'all
on
old
that.
I am, right. Huh? The That's typewriter. Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you had those same keys in the same place.
Same position. Mm-hmm. The keys have not changed.
Right.
Yes, the keys have not changed. Okay. So, you know, if you learned how to type back in the day, you know, you had your hands in a certain position.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell those who learned how to type back in the day than those who just learned how to hunt and peck. On the typewriter, those who had some training
so
the keys.
Why you keep looking over here at me?
Didn't look your way not one time.
All right.
You guilty? Guilty.
It's not.
Two finger pecky.
You get it done. It's what you can finish. That's the whole thing. But when I was in typing, I didn't really see the importance of it. I didn't want to do it. I don't even remember the name of the class.
Well, most of the boys didn't want to do it because, you know, back then things were so sexist. You know, a secretary is what a girl was
right.
a girl's
right.
job.
Right.
I ain't going in there learning how to type this.
Right.
They're gonna be secretaries.
What was that class called back in the day?
Business.
Uh-huh.
Typing. We had 101 and
mm-hmm.
typing 102.
Mm-hmm.
So yes.
So that's.
And Dr. Pauly says, today we speak into a microphone and it types what we say. That's the truth.
Yeah.
But you have to be careful when you do that because it'll pick up all kind of stuff that you
have
that
to go
you
back
say.
And make sure you make those corrections.
Right. I just rather go on and type mine. They have so many mistakes when I do that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we pretty much finished this second chapter tonight, Lady Kim, and we're not going to try to hold people and just keep rehearsing what we've already said. But what do you say would be some of the points of thought that we can learn from this second chapter? And we pretty much kind of said that because the first 9 verses and the latter 9 verses were tied right in together in terms of what Solomon was trying to accomplish in terms of this this point in the building, the preparation really for building the temple.
Well, I think the main thing that he wanted us to know is to be prepared.
Be prepared.
You know, prepare first,
mm-hmm.
always to avoid roadblocks.
Okay.
You know, whenever you prepare as much as possible, then you minimize your roadblocks, you minimize your mistakes, you minimize, you know, the things that might go wrong. We must desire to be prepared.
Okay.
I was thinking about that Tiffany called me a couple of weeks ago and asked me, you know, how to make a certain dish. And the first thing I said was, well, you need this, 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 and this. You know, I told her the ingredients that she needed. And as she started working, you know, every time I would say, now put this in, then she had to leave and go and get it. I said, wait, let's stop. Go and get all of your ingredients mm-hmm. that you need for this particular dish and put them on the counter. That way you have everything in front of you and you're not running all over the place every time you need something. And that's the same way with us when we plan.
Okay.
Plan and have everything that you can think of in place.
Mm-hmm.
And then begin to execute.
Okay.
So, for instance, like if I'm making a cake and I know I need butter and flour and sugar and vanilla and sour cream, I put and eggs, I put all that on the counter.
Okay.
Before I begin to work. So I won't have to crack an egg. Now I got to run to the refrigerator and get some butter and come back and you know, cream my butter. Oh, I forgot to get the cream cheese. I got to run and get. So it saves time. And it saves steps, and it also saves you from forgetting to put something in.
Okay, well, tell us what the dish was, Lady Kim, that you were helping.
It was macaroni and cheese.
Okay.
It was
okay.
Big Mama's macaroni and cheese. You mm-hmm. know, we make some good mac and cheese.
And so was I had she to able tell. To,
she said it was good.
Did she have the right kind of cheese?
She did not.
Okay. That's part of it right there.
Well, she said it tasted good. The okay. cheese she used was pretty good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yes.
Well, that's part of the process of being prepared. That's mm-hmm. that's what you're getting at. And
right.
So, you know, that example that you just mentioned many times happened in the home. And mm-hmm. Now it's so that the same steps are there, but the technology and everything is of such where you can do that on a phone call or on a FaceTime.
We FaceTime.
Uh-huh,
we FaceTime.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed that every time I would say, now put in this, she had to put the phone down and then go get it mm-hmm, and come back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stopped and said, let's go back and get all of the ingredients and put them right there on the counter so you don't have to run back and forth.
Right. All right. Well, that's a great example. And we praise God for each of you tonight on the call. And we are grateful for this time that God has allowed us to study the word tonight. Will you go ahead and list any prayer requests that you might have as we're preparing to close out tonight? And we're certainly grateful for each of you who are on the call. And we thank God for his Spirit's abiding presence. Even as you are listing those prayer requests, our Institute for Leadership Training, we will have our second session this Thursday at 6 p.m. And is it too late for people to register, or was that the last day yesterday?
I believe the last day to sign up was yesterday, but
okay.
If they're interested, they can probably give Dr. Qualis a call or an email.
Okay. And Dr. Qualis is on the call. Our dean is on the call tonight of the Institute, and so we want to make sure that if you get a call, that we go ahead and allow those who want to get in, because we had about 22 participants
on
last week,
mm-hmm.
and we're moving in the module as it relates to leadership. And so I have a couple of things that I'm gonna change up a little bit. Everybody should have gotten their notebooks on yesterday, and so you have all of the information. And I believe many of them were able to get the books for the study. And you're going to use part of one of those books in your presentation as well.
Absolutely.
Is that correct?
Yes, shoulder to shoulder.
Shoulder to shoulder. And so mm-hmm. make sure that those of you who are on the call, and even if you went through last session of the Institute and you want to maybe get with some of the people who went through that Institute and maybe borrow their book or ask them if they can, you know, allow you to use it. That would be great. We had set a reasonable price for the two books, but you can do it on, what is that?
Kindle.
Kindle, or what is the other one where you can download your books?
Apple Books or Apple Read, or I don't know. Okay. I don't use it. So.
Okay. But some people can do that, and they won't have to go through and purchase the books, a hard copy. I still like the hard copy, but I do have some books on Kindle as well. But we wanted to make those available yesterday. I think Dr. Qualis,
she says Sunday was the last day, but there's a link right there in the feed where you can sign up. So today will be the last day to sign up.
Okay. Today did she say that? Did she say that too?
The last day was yesterday, Sunday. But
did she say the day that it will be the last day?
No, she didn't say it there. Oh, okay. But
I was just trying to see, because I was just trying to make sure that we give people a chance to go ahead and sign up tonight.
All right. Yes, the link is there.
Your exercise thing going off?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
It's in time to stand up.
All right.
You always picking. All right. Do we have any prayer requests or praise reports? I know, of course, we have. Want to lift up prayers for the family of Michael Massey in the loss of his wife's grandmother. That funeral was on today. And we want to lift up Brother James Shotwell, who is still in Methodist Hospital. That the Lord continue to give him strength as he goes forth. I don't know of any other. Sister Lena Jackson, I know she's usually on. We hope you're feeling a lot better. And you know, I prayed for a lady yesterday, Sister Sharon, and she asked me to pray for Brittany, and I've had Brittany on my heart and on my mind all day today.
Okay.
So I'm asking whatever it is for God to just bless Brittany. And another young lady who joined yesterday, Ashley. Her name was Ashley.
Okay.
I want to lift her up in prayer on today also, because she touched my heart on yesterday.
All right. And the people that were involved in the accident on Saturday as well.
Yes.
That had the accident right there. We didn't get a chance to talk about that yesterday with so much going on. But there was a car that ran into the church on Saturday. And the damage, you wouldn't even know that it happened. I rode back around today and I saw the skid marks.
Mm-hmm.
But the building, there's no damage to the brick or to the building. But all of the airbags were deployed.
And she
had a little baby in the car.
Yes.
And
I'm sure her car is totaled. Her car was totally smashed up in the front where she hit the front of the church building, just inches from the glass.
Yeah.
The glass doors in the main entrance. And when the tow truck pulled the car away from the building, there was no damage to the building.
Isn't that something? That's right.
Not only was there no damage to the building, nobody got hurt.
That's right.
Now, that's really a blessing. And we thank God for that, because like you said, there were two adults and a little one-year-old baby in the car. And all of them got out and walked away unharmed. So we thank God for that. They were going north on Riverdale.
That's right.
Came across the median in the middle of the street, crossed over southbound traffic, went across the grass and the parking lot in the church and rammed into the church building.
And missed the front entrance.
Inches from the glass.
That's
of
right.
The front entrance.
That's right. And so
my
many
God.
People stopped and checked in as they saw us out there and trying to see, making sure.
Yes.
And we do appreciate that. We had so many calls from people.
Absolutely.
And it's amazing how we on that main stretch of Riverdale, people go up and down that way every day.
Yes.
But we had at least six
people. Yeah, six people to stop
and call, to let us know that something was going on at the church. And so we praise God for that.
All right. Sister Sharon Jackson would like the name of the books, to purchase the books. One of them was Shoulder to Shoulder by Dan Ryland.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is The Vision-Driven Leader by, is it Hyatt?
Yeah.
Michael Hyatt?
That's right.
Michael Hyatt, I believe.
Michael Hyatt.
Yes. So shoulder to shoulder and the vision-driven leader. Now, we must say the vision-driven leader is a secular book.
Right.
It's not a spiritual book, but it has some leadership principles that are so applicable to the church that you can transform those, secular things into the spirit realm.
That's right.
So we just thank God for that. Sister Deanna Pirtle is asking prayer for her friend, Miss Jeannie Harris and family. Her mother's funeral is this Friday in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Okay. We'll certainly lift up Jeannie Harris. And we want to pray Sister Pirtle's Traveling Mercy. She's there in New Jersey visiting her mother, and they named a street after her father there.
That's amazing.
And it was wonderful. She said they had a wonderful service there on yesterday, and they named the street in front of her former church, the church where her father pastored, in honor of her dad.
That's amazing.
So it was a wonderful time. Thank God for that.
Maybe we can list the authors of those books too for Sister Sharon. You go online, you will see both of those books. They're reasonable priced. The Vision Driven Leader might be the most expensive one, but even if you want to do Kindle, I think both of those would come up on your Kindle where you can have it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. All right. All right. I think that's all. Let's go to God in prayer as we close tonight. God, we thank you for this day. We bless you and we honor you. We give you abundant praise. God, we lift up the family of Michael Massey in the death of his wife's grandmother.
Yes,
God. We ask, God, that you would give them the peace that surpasseth all understanding. And we thank you for a life well lived. God, we ask special prayers for Jeannie Harris, oh God, as they funeralize that mother. Give them the peace that surpasseth all understanding. God, I pray for Sister Brittany and Sister Ashley today, God. God, you know what they're going through. You know all about them because you made and you created them, God. So whatever it is that they're going through, we ask, oh God, that you would see them through, that you would bring them through.
Thank you, God.
In the name of Jesus. We lift up Brother James Shotwell. We lift up Yasmin, oh God. We thank you for Yasmin's surgery and her healing, oh God. We pray that you would continue to heal her body and cause her to run on to see what the end will be like. And God, we ask that you would bring Brother James Shotwell out of that hospital,
hallelujah,
walking and
hallelujah,
leaping and praising
God,
and back to his normal activity. So we thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. We ask special blessings on our Institute for Leadership Training,
yes,
oh God,
God.
That you will continue to bless the leaders, oh God, that you will continue to bless our efforts, that we might lead with power and vigor, oh God. We will lead your people in the way that you would have us to go. And we thank you that you're bringing in people from the north,
hallelujah,
the south, the
glory,
east, and the west.
Glory, God.
We glorify you. We thank you. We bless you. We honor you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks and abundant praise.
Hallelujah.
Amen and thank God.
Glory. All
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Happy Juneteenth.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
We'll see you next time.
Be blessed.
Bye-bye.